For those of you that don't know, I told you I had a little special surprise for you this Sunday, and you probably already know, but my father-in-law is a retired minister in the Church of the Nazarene, served a long time because he's really old, and so, just kidding. I'm the better version in the family, so just know that I look better, but I don't preach better, and so he's a much better preacher, and I'm really excited that he was willing today to do that, and so just keep him in your prayers. He's a tremendous man of God, and I'm glad to have you today, and so he's going to come and bring the word today to us.
Thank you.
Hi, kids. I'm Pastor Courtney.
Thank you.
It's time for Children's Church.
No applause in the first service.
Exit the door to the right of the stage.
I will take note of that. And maybe with their age, they can't get the hands to, I don't know. Two things have changed since I spoke to you the last time that you need to be aware of that are for my benefit. One of them is, the last time I had an appointment with my eye doctor, he said that I was developing very rapidly cataracts. In fact, he thought it was so bad, he gave me his personal number so that if it got bad enough between appointments, all I had to do was call him. Now, that's important because if you make faces at me or look chagrin and just say, please get done, you know, give that look on your face, I can't see you. So know that. So that's to my benefit. The second thing is, in December, at the encouragement of my wife, I had a hearing test. And apparently, my hearing isn't everything it should be. So if you're going to do any raspberries or anything like that, I can't hear you. So it's just me. So just relax and we'll kind of do this. I want to speak to you this morning on a new name. It's a message that's very, very dear to my heart. Because the Lord opened the opportunity to see this. I've always enjoyed preaching holiness. But when I preach holiness, I've never been an individual who felt comfortable giving you all the ins and outs of holiness. I can't think of a longer sermon than somebody that's given you the ins and the outs of holiness. Could I say, since I'm retired, it tends to be a little boring. And so what I try to do is I try to look through the Bible, and God has been very good to me with this, and find things in the Bible that teach holiness. But unless you understand what is being said, you wouldn't know that the Lord is teaching holiness. So I want to give you one of these this morning and hope that it helps you. During the late 1980s and all during the 1990s, separated by about a year and a half to 2 year period, depending upon how long it took me to put the team together, I began, under the encouragement of Harmon Smalsenbaugh, to take work and witness teams into Africa, Kenya, Africa, Tanzania, Africa, and we began to build churches. And my responsibility was to put the team together. Another part of my team that was just of God, his responsibility was to finance everything. He had a deep pocket and a great love for Africa. So it was a great combination. He didn't want to mess with the people. He just wanted to give the money. And so he would ask me if I would mess with the people, and he just messed with the money. So that's what happened. So on the third trip, we were there in Africa, and I had met a lot of pastors since this was the third trip, and we were building the district parsonage in Nanyuki, Kenya, the only place in the world where there is snow on Mount Kenya, the only place in the world where there is snow on the equator. You wouldn't think that, but it's true. On the equator year round. Only place in the world, Mount Kenya. Beautiful, beautiful location. In fact, Stephanie Powers, the famous actress, had a ranch there at the foothills of Mount Kenya. And when I would go over there, I would pray that I would run into her. But I never did. I did talk to one guy who had seen, well, anyway, let's move on. So because we were building a district parsonage, we had a lot of pastors there because all of them wanted to be DS. Have you noticed that in America? You know, the DS announces he's going to retire, and these guys just come out of the woodwork, think they want to be DS. So that was the case there. So we had a lot of pastors that were there working with the project. One of the pastors that was very dear to my heart was Samuel Kariuki. And Samuel Kariuki, we had built a church for him 2 years earlier in Sweetwater, Kenya, which was not very far from where we were building this. In fact, we were it was so unique. We were staying, where we were staying was in the southern hemisphere, and his church was in the northern hemisphere. We would cross the equator each day, staying in the southern hemisphere. And let's go on. So anyway, I asked Samuel. Now, mind you, his name, Samuel Kariuka. He's a full-blooded, born Kenyan. And I said to him, with all these other pastors there to help build this church, I said to him, I said, Samuel, I have a question. I said, why is it that all of these pastors that are here to help, they all have biblical names? Samuel, John, Andrew, Philip, they all have biblical first names. How does that happen? What is going on? And Samuel said, well, it's very simple. That's not my first name. He said, what we do here in Kenya is that when we find Jesus as Savior, and when we find ourselves to have a call to preach, we just give ourselves a biblical first name. And that's why I have the name Samuel. That made sense, didn't it? So I didn't think too much of that until one day I was studying the book of Revelations in chapter 2, and all of a sudden, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, brought to my mind my conversation with Samuel. And the way that he did it was through this scripture. And I thought, oh my, there's got to be some sort of biblical truth there. And as I studied it, I found out that it was a biblical truth that has everything in the world to do with holiness. We're a holiness church, you know. This is what he said. 17th verse of Revelation chapter 2. And this was being told to the church of Pergamum. And this is what he said in the 17th verse. He who has an ear. So he's talking. He said, give me your ear. I want you to get this. This is important. If you've got an ear, you need to hear this. This is God, and I'm going to say this. To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. Now listen to this. And I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone. Now it goes further, known only unto him that receives it. A new name, a heavenly name for you, the born-again believer, the follower of Jesus. That's what God said. Let's talk about it. Let me pray first. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, the blessings that you bring to our lives, the way, Lord, that you want to help us each day. We thank you for Pastor Joe, and Lord, he gets up here every Sunday, delivers the word. We learn from it, we grow from it. But you called me here today, Lord, and Joe was kind enough to allow me to do it, and I'm just so thankful for that. But Lord, we're not here about Don Bosell. And we're not here this morning about Pastor Joe getting a Sunday to rest. What we are here about this morning is to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that's what we want to do this morning. So would you guide us and direct us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me try to teach you this principle of the new name. And then if you don't get it, it doesn't matter because I'm going back to Texas. Oh, I love to go somewhere else. You may not be aware of the fact that in the Bible, the Jews named their children on the eighth day. In other words, they didn't go to the place of birth and with an idea that this is going to be the name of the child. This is what we're going to name the child, and so the child is born, and so they say to the midwife or whoever helped deliver the child, that now this is Joe. This is Joe, or this is Judy. But rather, they would wait until the eighth day, and the reason they would do that is because names to the Jews meant something. When they gave a name, the name had a significance. See, it wasn't like you and I, like when we had, my wife and I had Amber and Ashley, she mostly had the Haddon. And when we had these two girls and it was time to name them, it wasn't one of those things where we sat down around the table and said, now it's very important that we pick this name, the right name, because we want our child to be something, or we want to know the character of the child. We want to have an opportunity. Let's not name it till the eighth day, till we have a chance to take a look if it's going to be a crybaby, right? Or it's going to be a joyful child. Or if it's going to be a child that has a sign for this or a sign for that. And so the Jews, they didn't go down to Walgreens and buy a book that had names in the book and say, well, I kind of like that one. No, I like that one. That, well, let's do this one. Well, that one sounds good. I don't really care for that one. Well, let's do that. Well, what can we call it? Let's call it that. They didn't do that. Names meant something and was significant to them. For instance, there were several ways that they would name a child. Sometimes they would name them like after an object, and I'll give you an example of some of these. First, if they named them Tara, Tara meant wild goat. If they named the child Leah, Leah meant wild cow. Do we have any Leahs? No. If they named him Jonah, it meant dove. If they named him Tamar, it meant palm tree. If they named the child Beth, it meant house. Sometimes it was because of the physical condition that they would name a child. For instance, if they had twins, one of the names that they would use was Thomas, because Thomas meant twin. And so they might name the child Thomas because they were a twin. Sometimes it was the national conditions that caused the name of the child. A biblical example of that was when the people of God lost the Ark of the Covenant. You remember there was a time when the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and the Bible tells us that Phinehas's wife was in labor with child, and when the Ark of the Covenant was taken, she went into labor, delivered the child, and they named the child Ichabod, because Ichabod meant the glory has departed, because the ark had been taken. Sometimes they would name it because of the condition of the birth. One of the classic examples of that would be Abraham. When the angel of the Lord finally appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, you're going to have a child. And Abraham was 100 years old. He started laughing. You got to be kidding. I've waited all these years, and now I'm 100, and you tell me I'm going to have a child? And so he told Sarah, and Sarah got tickled about it. And so when the child was born, They named the child Isaac. Well, why did they name the child Isaac? Because Isaac means laughter. So all I'm saying this morning is that in the Bible, names for the Jews were given on purpose. But here's the interesting thing, and this is where we begin to get the biblical truth. Sometimes God himself changed the name. I'd love that to happen. Wouldn't that be something if God just came down one day and woke me out of my sleep and said, Don, you're no longer going to be called Don. You're going to be Joe. Joe? Something like that. Anyway, so sometimes God came down and changed the name. For instance, Simon, when he was brought to the Lord by his brother Andrew, you remember that Jesus looked at Simon and he said, Simon, you're no longer going to be Simon. You're going to be called Cephas, which is Peter, which means a stone. And you remember when Jacob came back after, remember, he stole the birthright from his brother and he ran away because his mother told him that his brother was going to kill him, and so he goes out into the country. And when he comes back after repentance and all that happened out there in the country, when he came back, God changed his name from Jacob, which meant trickster, to Israel, which meant prince. Same thing is true of Naomi. If you study the life of Naomi, you will find out that Naomi, which by the way is a word that was given to her that meant pleasant. Naomi was a pleasant person, but there was a famine in the land. And Naomi, against the will of the Lord, took her family down to Moab, raised her family in Moab. All of her family went into sin, and God changed her name from Naomi, which means pleasant, to Mara, which meant bitter. The same is true of Esau. Esau, who was the brother of Jacob, the one who had the birthright tricked away from him, we know in the Bible that after all that happened, he went into sin. He became a very difficult child, a very despondent child, a child that was messing around in sin. And God changed his name. You know what he changed his name to? He changed it to Edom. Well, why did he change his name to Edom? Because Edom meant red. Well, why did he change his name to red? Because he had sold his birthright for a bowl of red soup. Well, why did they call him red? Why would he call him Edom red? Because he literally had passed up to be part of the promised seed of the Messiah, and in the lineage of Jesus and the genealogy of Jesus, for a bowl of red soup. Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but sin will change you. When we talk about a new name, I just want to remind you, and I've dealt with this throughout my ministry, that you go into sin and you will get a new name. Convict, drug user, addict, prostitute. People will no longer see you for the name that you are. They will see you as the person you have become. Amen? Amen. It's absolutely true. And I just one of the things when I preach about sin, I talk about how that God says that he not only forgives us of our sins, but he justifies us. When he forgives us, he justifies us. What does that mean? God has the ability to see us just as if we never sinned. What does that mean? God looks at us and takes that name that we have become, and he changes it back to the name that we are. That's a beautiful truth. Well, let's get down to the message, enough proof. A new name, a new name. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17 that we're going to be given a new name. Now, what I thought when I first began to study that scripture, I thought, well, yeah, God's going to give us a new name in heaven. So instead of being called Christians, we're going to be called something else, something that might be fitting for heaven, like the glorified. Would that be good? Send that up to God. He may want to use that. So like the glorified or something like that. But that's not what it says. That's not what he's saying. He does not. You remember they said that in the book of Acts, it says, and they were first called Christians in Antioch. So we weren't always Christians. They were first called Christians in Antioch. We were doing a lot of work for Christianity before we were ever called Christians. So we are called Christians first in Antioch. So then somebody would say, okay, but when we get to heaven, then he's going to take the word Christians and he's going to give us another name, some other name. But that's not what it says. It says, I will give him, not they. I will give him, not them. I will give him a new name. And then he emphasized it. You see what he says? I will give him a new name. In fact, that name will be known only by the one who receives it. Now, here's the catch. I want you to consider something this morning. If God, if the Jews, and if God named people, so the Jews named people according to character. God changed the name of people according to their character. What do you think God is going to use as a source of your new name when you get to heaven? So I had church boards. Any church board members here? I had church board. Good, there's no church board member. I really get on them. So I had church boards. You know that every one of my church boards, they all had names? Yeah, they did. They got, in fact, that's how they got elected. They had their name on a ballot. So they had a name. So they elected names. Abby, they elected names. Would you agree with that? But you see, when I went into the boardroom as a pastor, So when I would go into the boardroom as a pastor after I had pastored a church for a while, and I want you to get this, names were insignificant. The name didn't mean anything to me. They could call roll, that meant nothing to me. You know why? Because I was trying to pastor the church. I was trying to get things done. I was trying to see things happen. I was trying to get them to move forward. And so when I would go into the room, I wouldn't see John, Dick, Tom, Bill. I would see this guy's got a positive attitude. He'll vote for it. This guy's got a good spirit. This guy loves the Lord. He'll be open to this. You know what I looked at? Character. 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 Interesting thing, Moses was asked by God to lead God's people out of bondage. And so he listens to God. God said, go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses, all fired up, yeah, I'm going to go down there and ask Pharaoh to let the people go. God has told me to do it. This is going to happen. And then he got to thinking about halfway there. He turned around and he said, and I don't know how he got his attention, but he said, God, hey, listen. Who am I supposed to tell them said, let them go? Because if it's me, I'm going to get slaughtered. Who should I tell them? And God said, tell them, I am, said, let them go. Now that's significant. Tell them I am that I am. You know why? Because God is a heavenly being, and in heaven his name is I Am. It is unchanging. God's character never changed. God is I Am. Now get this. He sends his son to earth, Jesus. He's going to come down as a man. And when he comes down as a man, he goes to Joseph one day and he says, Joseph, Mary's going to have a baby. And I want you to name this baby Jesus. I want him to have an earthly name, and that earthly name will be Jesus, not I am that I am. He could have said I am that I am because he was I am as I am. Amen? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one and the Trinity. He didn't do that. I want him to have an earthly name. I want his name to be Jesus. Jesus, because he is going to save my people from their sins. So once again, he named because the name had a meaning. And so Jesus one day is speaking in the synagogue. He just gets up and starts spouting off in the synagogue, read scripture. And you know what the people say? Now, this isn't all that they said, but I'm going to make believe they said this. They said, isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't that Jesus? Yeah, that's Jesus. He lives in Nazareth. He's Joseph's son. That's Jesus. Earthly name. But you know what? If you check your Bible, if you go into your Bible and they start talking about Jesus, you check this out sometime. They say, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one altogether lovely, the beginning and the end, all kinds of heavenly names. But on earth, his name was Jesus. Did you know that God only held one funeral in the Bible? It's significant that this scripture that I read to you, and I'm closing. I've preached too long. It's significant. God only preached one sermon in the Bible, which recorded in Joshua 1:1, and it was only 5 words. When I go to funerals, I dream about the preacher 5 words. It was only 5 words. There was a congregation for this funeral message of one, Joshua. And yet, this is what God said. Here are the 5 words. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's it. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, let's break that down according to what we're studying this morning. Moses, heavenly name or earthly name. When they traveled around out in the wilderness, and when they had complaints and things weren't going well and they didn't have any manna and they were short on water and this one was upset and that one was upset, you know who was responsible? Moses. Earthly name. Joshua was standing there and he couldn't just assume that Joshua knew it was Moses because there was no body. But the minute he said the name Moses, he knew exactly what he was talking about. I know Moses. But then he said this, my servant. heavenly name. Heavenly name. He wasn't Joshua's servant. He wasn't the people's servant. He wasn't Pharaoh's servant. He was God's servant. He had his heavenly name. Did you know that in the Church of Nazarene that we believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit? And did you know that when you are saved, we call that initial sanctification, in which the Spirit comes in to dwell in your being? And then you keep working on those things, and one day you get sanctified, in which the fruits of the Spirit are enhanced within you. They become stronger. They dominate you. You become overwhelmed by them. Here they are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. My very favorite evangelist is Stephen Manley. He used to really confuse me. He'd come to my church, hold a revival, and I always thought he was trying to push off his responsibility on me, because every time there was an altar call, you know what he did? You've had him here. He'd walk off the platform and kneel at the altar. I thought, the guy's preaching to my people, he's backslid. No, he went backslid. I talked to him about it one day. You know what he told me? He said, I've not arrived. I'm working on my heavenly name. Are you getting this, folks? I'm working on my heavenly name. You see, we walk around the hallways of the church with a bad attitude, with gossip and all this stuff, and we try to justify that. Folks, nothing could be further from the truth. One of these days, God knows what you're doing. God knows who you are. God knows your character. You know what you need to be doing? You need to be working on your heavenly name. I picked mine out, and I'm done. Yeah, I got my own. I can do that. I'm a pastor. Yeah, I told God one day, I said, you know what? I have my heavenly name. You know what I want to be called? Pastor Don. I've worked all my life at being Pastor Don, and I've been somewhat successful. In fact, I pastored Harlingen, Texas, Louisville Trinity, Dayton First, and Temple, Texas First, four churches. And as a retired minister for the last 10 years, I promise you folks, every telephone call that I have received from anybody that was a part of my church, the first words out of their mouth are these: hey, Pastor Don. I worked hard at that. When my people were having surgery, I was the first one at the hospital. I'd beat them there. I prided myself in beating them there. I could have very well have had surgery when it wasn't supposed to be me, because I was there. The people at the hospital, listen, these receptionists at Scott and White Hospital in Temple, Texas, they knew that somebody from my church was having surgery because they'd see me show up, and they also knew they weren't there yet. When my people would leave the church ugly, leave ugly, you're not going to believe this, I'd go see them. I've been called names. I've had doors slammed in my face. I was in a house one time, I promised you, I looked at the crack of the door and I said, Lord, if there's any way I could slide under that crack and get out of here, But that's what pastors do. Nobody was going to leave my church, but they didn't know they were loved. They could think about me anything they wanted to, but I was supposed to be the shepherd of my flock. And if they were hurting, I wanted to know about it. You're making a name for yourself, whether you know it or not, and it's significant. It's more significant than you know. He's talking to these seven churches, and he comes to this one. He's got so many admonitions here, but this one is really something. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. In other words, I'm going to take care of them. Man, when they get there, they're going to get the hidden manna. Man, and then it says, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on that stone, which no one knows but him who receives it. And nobody knows, because that's the person that got it, that lived it. Nobody knows, because his walk with Jesus had nothing to do with your walk with Jesus. Nobody knows, because the depth that he wanted to go in his spiritual walk has nothing to do with how far you wanted to go in your spiritual walk. A new name. I want you to think about it. I want it to work on you this week. I want to make you hurt. Father, would you help us? Would you help us as a people to be mindful of the fact that God has his eyes on us and our character matters? And one of these days, we're not going to be just welcomed into heaven, but God's going to greet us in a way that he's going to give us something so brand new, so filled with manna, so overwhelmed with love, that he's going to give us a new name. A name that will describe who we are and who we were in Christ likeness. Challenge us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. And thanks, Joe, too. I want you to know, because Joe either is misleading me or whatever, but every time I'm in town, he says that you people want to hear me speak. So I want to take a poll this morning. Good night. You're dismissed.